The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
We decided to go with Stephen King.
Yes, we've talked a little bit about him before in previous episodes, but we're going to devote today to him.
You've gone kind of on a Stephen King kick, haven't you?
I really have, yeah. It started with reading The Dark Tower, and I don't really remember why I decided to start, but I've heard a lot about it, and it's been around for as long as we have.
Was it because of the movie that was coming out at the time?
Oh, probably, yeah. The fact that the movie was coming out and I wanted to read the book before I saw the movie, which turned out to be a good idea. And we'll get into why that was. But, yeah, the first book came out in 1982, mm-hmm. was the beginning of the series. And then the last
two.
Yeah. And then the last book came out in 2004. So it was quite a stretch of time between there. So anyway, with that and then with it coming out, the new It this last year, and then we also listened to the audiobook of The Dead Zone. So we're going to talk about It and Dead Zone and Dark Tower, and we're going to have a good time.
Now, in one of our prior episodes, during our Halloween episode, we talked about the new movie, It.
Right.
And we had not seen the miniseries.
We had not.
We have since remedied that.
Yes, we were a little behind, but we fixed it.
Good, which is what we're supposed to do.
That's right.
The fun part about this is that we're going to try to cover as much as we can, because there's a lot of Stephen King stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, not only books, but all of his books get turned into movies and miniseries and TV series.
Mm-hmm.
And he's even done writing editorials for, like, Entertainment Weekly. Like,
yeah.
He's all over the place.
And now he's become a big presence on Twitter, because that's what people do now.
Like, micro thoughts of Stephen King, because compared to all of his ginormous novels, Twitter just does not seem like enough characters for him.
Right? It really does. Well, they have expanded, so that helps. You can do more. So let's start with It. So we didn't see the original miniseries in 1990, because, you know, we would have been a little young for that at the time.
Eight.
Yeah, that's a little young for a horror miniseries. Although, after watching it, I am very surprised that it aired on network television.
It's pretty dark.
It's pretty dark, yeah. So I don't feel like they would have aired anything like that now.
You know, it pushes the line, and I'm pretty sure now it would still be okay. I mean, if they could do it then, they're going to still do it now.
Yeah.
The only thing that they've really changed in television when it comes to that is being more culturally sensitive.
Yeah, that's true. So the miniseries, I feel, follows the book a little more than the new movie that just came out. Because while I have not read the book, it is one, it's on my list. It's 1,100 pages long. It's a very thick book. And the audio book, which is how I do all my reading right now, is 45 hours long.
Ouch.
So, yeah, it's a big one. So I'm going to get there. But reading synopses and all that, it seems like the original one follows a little better. Because in the new movie, the children are the main focus, and they are in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the book and in the miniseries, they are children in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And they come back to the town as adults in the 80s. And I think with the new movie, what they did is they put the kids in the 80s, and then they're going to come back as adults next
Currently.
Year, in 2019, when Chapter 2 comes out.
I'm wondering who they're going to cast for all those.
I can't wait. It's going to be so excited. That movie was so good. I did not expect to like it as much as I did.
Did we talk about that on our Halloween episode, what the kids expected?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because each kid was asked who they want to be their adult counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty interesting thing. If we haven't, we'll make sure we put a link to that piece
yeah.
of trivia on what mm-hmm. IMDb.
Yeah, I love IMDb for trivia. Yeah, and so I believe the book starts out with them as adults, and then flashes back to kids, which is what the original miniseries did. And, you know, I've heard that the miniseries does not hold up, but I actually thought it was all right. The graphics weren't great, especially at the end. They were really bad at the end.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
It was still worth watching. It was interesting.
Is it Bill Sarsgaard or Peter Sarsgaard in the new one?
Bill.
Okay, so Bill Sarsgaard is such a phenomenal Pennywise.
He really is.
And Tim Curry, while I love Tim Curry,
mm-hmm.
he is so talented. I mean, you wouldn't know that he is the clown in this unless somebody told you.
Not at all.
He sounds different. Yeah. He looks different. Like, I wasn't really scared of Pennywise at all during the miniseries. Like,
right.
Bill Sarsgaard's Pennywise was scary as all get out.
Well, I think just looking at Pennywise, the Bill Sarsgaard Pennywise looks creepy. Like, his costume is dirty and old, and his face with that smile, and just looking at
him. His voice, too.
Well, but not even the voice, just looking at him, even if he's not trying to be sinister, he's still scary looking. But
what I'm saying, though, with the voice, though, is that you had Tim Curry's, who was kind of like Tim Curry, who's British and he has that British accent, got rid of it for that character, and mm-hmm. he was kind of like a Bronx kind of New York. He's like, "Hey, you kids, who you want to do this?" And he was very deep and dark. Whereas with Bill Sarsgaard's, it just is speaking the tone when even not trying to be sinister was creepy. I mean, mm-hmm. that opening bit inside the sewer, he's like, "You want to go get some popcorn?" And you're just like, ugh.
"Yeah." And I didn't feel like Tim Curry's Pennywise was very scary.
No.
Like, just to look at. And when it did, quote-unquote, get scary, he had extra teeth and it still wasn't that scary. But
and like
I think
it was very much the very end of the Thriller music video for Michael Jackson.
It was
always just teeth got bigger and eyes became, like, more cat-like.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they always just zoomed in on him opening up his mouth. Like, that was it. It was nothing to really make you jump.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I definitely am glad that they decided to remake it, because the graphics and the technology of what they could do with this new movie really served it well.
Oh, it's wonderful. And yeah, I'm curious what they're going to do with the sequel, which I'm told is going to incorporate more of what they pulled from this one, because there's a scene that they had written in with Pennywise's origin, so to mm-hmm. speak, like his first incarnations, which actually plays in. There's a scene in the movie where one of the kids looks up in the library or somewhere where there's it shows the well and the lady by the well,
mm-hmm.
and I'm pretty sure that was where the scene was going to be, but it cuts, and you can see where it was cut, because it was supposed to, I think, zoom in on the painting and then go to that scene, and that scene
right.
is supposedly very disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a woman who has to give up her baby to save her whole family, and she has to give up her baby to Pennywise. Really, I read the synopsis, and it's creepy.
Yeah.
And so they're going to delve more into that, of what I am aware of from mm-hmm. what I've heard of the sequel.
I'm really looking forward to, like you said, seeing who they cast as the adult characters, because the miniseries had some really good actors in it. You mm-hmm. know, the movie wasn't great, but I mean, it had John Ritter and rest in peace John Ritter, and Harry Anderson, who you don't see very much of, but he was a great Richie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can really see that character growing up to be Harry Anderson, and so that was really fun.
Yeah, and I really hope that they're able to flash back to the kids again, because those kids in this first one were so good.
They were.
Like, I really didn't care about Pennywise or any of that. Like, I did, but the point is that when he wasn't on screen, I wasn't like, when are they going to get to the monster?
Right.
Like, I was enthralled with these kids. Like, the kids carried that movie so well.
Mm.
You weren't sitting there going, okay, let's get past this. I kind of was like that with the miniseries. Like, I didn't really care about the kids as much, get to the clown. Whereas in the other one, it's like, oh, these kids are hilarious. Oh, yeah, that's right, there's a clown in this that's evil, and they're going to get to him.
Although it was great to see Seth Green. He played Richie, the younger Richie, so he was the younger Harry Anderson.
Yeah.
And
He seems older then than he does now.
It really does. It did not look like him at all.
It didn't sound like him or anything.
It didn't sound like him. Like, if I didn't know, just like Tim Curry, if I didn't know who that was, I wouldn't have guessed.
Now, that aired on ABC back in 1990.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a limit to what they could put, but they got on there more than I expected.
They really did. I was surprised.
Yeah, I'm really glad they were able to keep, though, the sewer scene
mm-hmm.
in the new one.
Yeah.
Because they kind of glossed over that in the miniseries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't. The initial one with Georgie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. They put it in, but they kind of like, oh, okay, well, this happened, and now we're done. Well, because it opens on another murder. And in the 80s, and the only kid who was still in town, Mike, is now the librarian, and he's the only one who's still in that town. Everyone else has left. And there's a little girl who was murdered, and Georgie's picture is left at the scene. And so that's when he decides, oh, it is back. And so that's when he calls the rest of the Losers Club, and they come back to Derry. And they had all forgotten what happened because they left the town, and he's the only one that remembers.
I'm only aware of what really goes on in the novel because of a YouTube video that we will link to.
Yes, we will link to that video. It's amazing.
It's a great. It's what is it? Is it a gangster reads the classics?
Something like that.
Or something like that. Yeah, and it's hilarious. And this guy, he's like a gangster kind of thug kind of talk, but he reads the whole thing and he gives you a synopsis and a breakdown. And I've read something about the characters that I'm not going to get into, but I was really disturbed. I'm like, I'm okay that this is not included in any of the media adaptations, the movies, the miniseries. I'm like, I'm done. And so we'll link to that. So go on our website and find the link to that video because it's rather hilarious, mm-hmm. and he breaks it down very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so go to GomezCast.com mm-hmm. and click on episode 13, and we will have that link.
How appropriate, right?
Right. It really is.
Episode 13,
Stephen King.
So, yeah, so it. But that's not even like a minute portion of that, which is Stephen King. I mean, you've got everything from horror stuff like Carrie, mm-hmm. Cujo, Christine the Car, Pet Sematary. You've got all these like horror things, but you don't realize that Stephen King does so many other things that aren't horror as well, which The Dark Tower wouldn't count as horror,
no,
right?
No, it's not. It's not horror at all, no.
And, I mean, he's done The Green Mile.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Shawshank Redemption
mm-hmm.
and Stand By Me. These are all
yeah.
Stephen King. Like you can just go on and on and on. Like we're going to touch on a lot of stuff in an hour, but honestly, there's so much material out there. Stephen King is amazing. And it reminds me of that Family Guy episode where you wonder how he comes up with that so much content and it shows, Peter talking about it or whatever. And it flashes to Stephen King in his editor's office. And he's like, all right, Stephen, what do we got? And Steven's sitting there going, and he's looking at the desk and he grabs a lamp. He's like, I got a new book about a lamp monster that eats people. Rah! And the guy looks at him. He's like, okay, when can I have it?
Uh-huh. Right.
I love it.
Well, and what's amazing too is that he started writing kind of later on in life
mm-hmm.
because he was a teacher and then he started writing novels.
So his Wikipedia page lists his occupation as writer, actor, television producer, singer, musician.
Singer?
Singer and musician, yes.
I have never heard Stephen King sing.
Well, now we're going to find out something new during our commercial break, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
But yeah, I mean, he's even done other ones. The Langoliers, which is that crazy
right.
one in the airport.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's also, what is that? Is it the one with the house? And our friends, the Glovins, wanted us to watch the miniseries.
Oh, Rose Red.
Rose Red. Yeah. So they told us to watch that. So, it just goes on and on and on and on.
Another of my favorite Stephen King writing is when he did his editorial for Entertainment Weekly. Mm-hmm. I know you had mentioned that earlier, but he is such a relatable writer. Like, when he wasn't writing stories, when he was just writing his opinion, it was really fun. And one of my favorites was when he reviewed Harry Potter.
Well, he's a huge Potterhead.
Huge Potter fan. And that's because when he got in his accident, he was hit by a van, which actually plays a very large part in The Dark Tower, which we'll talk about later. During his recovery, he read Harry Potter and just fell in love with it. And he has written that Dolores Umbridge is one of his favorite villains. That Voldemort is a little over the top, but Umbridge is a great villain because she is so sappy and sweet on the surface and just pure evil underneath.
That's a great way to do that. But yeah, he used to write those articles all the time, and he's very opinionated and political, and Uncle Stevie is kind of like a little bit of my hero when it comes to that.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he's great, and his presence online is getting more and more every day. And you know, he's really great on Twitter. He does the greatest dad jokes on Twitter. It's amazing.
We need to find some of those.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll link to those. Just follow him. We'll send you to his Twitter page. He's gonna get, because of our enormous fan following of this, his Twitter. If everyone who's listening to this follows him, then his Twitter following is going to jump almost next to nothing. And Stephen, if you're listening to this, you're welcome.
Right.
You're welcome. Well, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about a few of ours. I think my favorite is going to be the Dead Zone and a couple of other things. And you want to talk about the Dark Tower. We will get to that in the show.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to We're a Little Behind on KCNR 1460 AM.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
The Red Bluff Roundup is on. April 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Get your tickets now. $250,000 is up for grabs for 600 of the toughest cowboys and cowgirls. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab up the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is family night, brought to you by Food Max and Tri-Counties Bank. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7. And an after party with live music. Saturday is Wells Fargo Bank and Red Bluff Dodge Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music stars Morgan Wallen and Chris Lane.
I'm going up, down, up, back home, home, girl.
And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
Hey, high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors. Did you know that you can take classes at Shasta College this summer without paying any tuition? Get a jump start in your college education, tackle that tough class, or get ready for transfer, all for just a registration fee of about $40. Save time and money. That's how Shasta College gives you more. Shasta College has more classes so you can graduate faster, more programs so you can choose your perfect career, more flexibility to work around your busy life, and more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. Summer enrollment is happening now, and high school students and newly graduated seniors can attend Shasta College free during the summer. Just pay the $40 enrollment fee. We made it easier than ever to register. Go to shastacollege.edu/apply or call 242-7650. High-paying jobs are waiting for trained workers today, and Shasta College is here to help you advance your future. Choose more. Choose Shasta College. Enroll today at shastacollege.edu/apply.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Chris Gomez.
And we're talking about Stephen King today.
We are talking about Stephen King, and there's a lot to talk about. Like,
yeah.
During the break, I was looking up his music, and he's part of the band called The Remainders, I believe it is. I'll have to look it up again. But, it's just a band of authors. You can't be a part of this band unless you are an author.
Are there any other notable authors?
I don't know. I just heard that because I saw a clip when they were on the Late Show with Craig Ferguson.
Hmm.
And Craig Ferguson said, I wrote a novel, I wrote a book just so I can be an author, just so I can play with this band.
All right, then.
But yeah, I'm right now looking at his bibliography, and holy moly, that is a lot of books.
Yeah, he has,
59 novels alone.
I mean, there has been very few years between 1974 and 2018 that he has not published a book. And sometimes it's more than one in a year.
Like, I can't even fathom putting that much effort in anything.
Right? Like, that's a lot of different stories to tell.
And different types of stories, too.
Yeah.
I mean, so his first one was Carrie, 1974. And I'm gonna rapid fire this off right now, like... So going down the line, he's got, and how many of these were turned into movies or TV series or miniseries? So it's Carrie.
Movie.
Salem's Lot.
Movie.
The Shining.
Movie.
Rage. Rage. The Stand.
Miniseries.
The Long Walk.
I don't know.
The Dead Zone.
Movie and series.
Firestarter.
Movie.
Roadwork.
I don't know.
Cujo.
Movie.
The Running Man.
Movie.
The Dark Tower. The
movie.
Gunslinger. Christine.
Movie.
Pet Sematary.
Will be a movie.
It's already been a movie.
No, well, it's good. It's getting a reboot.
Oh, it's getting a reboot. Okay, mm-hmm. That makes sense. Cycle of the Werewolf. The Talisman.
I think that's a movie.
I believe so. Thinner.
Movie.
Yep. It.
Movie and miniseries.
Yep. The Eyes of the Dragon. The Dark Tower 2. Misery.
Movie.
The Tommyknockers.
Movie.
The Dark Half. The Dark Tower 3. Needful Things.
Movie.
Gerald Game.
Netflix original.
Oh. Dolores Claiborne, which was a movie.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Starred Kathy Bates and I think Mary Stuart Masterson, I think.
Well, I'm pretty sure she's the main character in Misery.
No.
Isn't she?
No.
No?
Okay. No. Insomnia, that was a movie.
Movie.
With Robin Williams and Robert De Niro, right?
Oh, is that that?
I believe it is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Rose Matter. The Green Mile.
Movie.
Desperation. The Regulators. I think that was a movie. Dark Tower 4.
That one is getting a TV series that we'll talk about later.
Okay. Bag of Bones. The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon. Dreamcatcher.
Movie.
Black House. From a Buick 8. The Dark Tower 5. The Dark Tower 6. The Dark Tower 7.
He just cranked those out.
He was
right
like,
away.
I'm just done with new stuff. Just let me keep going through these Dark Towers.
Yeah, because Dark Tower 5 came out in 2003, and then 6 and 7 came out in 2004.
Yeah. The Colorado Kid. Cell. Lizzie's Story. Blaze. Duma Key. Under the Dome.
TV series.
Oh, yeah. 11-22-63.
Hulu original.
Yep. The Dark Tower, The Wind Through the Keyhole. Joyland, Dr. Sleep, Mr. Mercedes.
I'm pretty sure that's a TV show.
Revival, Finders Keepers, End of Watch, Sleeping Beauties, and coming out this year, 2018, so this is one that's just on the to-do list, The Outsider.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's things on there that weren't even on there, like The Shawshank Redemption, which I guess is not counted on there. Didn't he do The Shawshank? Like, Shawshank and Standby. See, those must have just been screenplays.
Oh, yeah, because
they're not part of the novels list.
That's true. I believe they were.
Yeah, because none of that's there. So I kind of need to know, like, what else is he writing that we don't even know about? Okay, so let's go on. I'm going to give you the floor, darling.
So Stand By Me was a novel.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it not? It was not on the list.
That is not a complete list.
Or did I just run through it too quickly?
No, it's not on the list.
Okay.
It's not a complete list. Wikipedia, you have let us down.
It's Wikipedia.
That's true.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the floor. Dark Tower.
Dark Tower, okay.
You get to talk all about this. When we get to the movie, I'll throw my two cents in, but this is you.
So I started The Dark Tower, and you're right, from earlier, because the movie had come out, and I had heard a lot about Dark Tower. It got a lot of press when in my Harry Potter circle, it got a lot of talk when the seventh book came out because he references Harry Potter in a couple of the books. And so I decided to go ahead and read, and since I don't have time to read, I've been doing a lot of audiobooks, which you still get the same story. You just don't have to spend the time looking at a book, and I can do it while driving. So I listened to all seven books, and the first book was actually really difficult to get into. It didn't have a very good flow. It kind of jumped timelines a lot, and it took a little bit to get into, but I was so glad I did because the second book got better. The third book was awesome. The fourth book was my favorite, and it was really good. And it's such an epic story, and then it's so huge. It spans different worlds, and it's a great idea that there are parallel universes all over, and that there's this one thing that's tying them all together, and that is the Dark Tower. So the Dark Tower is kind of the center energy point of existence. The main character, the last gunslinger, which is Roland Deschain, he is trying to save the tower because there are people who are trying to destroy the tower, pretty much destroy the world and bring existence as we know it to an end. And so he is on his journey to save it. And along the way, he gathers three companions.
So light reading.
Yes, very light reading. Yes. It's so engrossing. Once I was through just a couple of books, I was thinking, how in the world did they make this a movie? Because it's one movie, and it's seven books, it's seven novels. And I think one of the problems with any movie based on a Stephen King book is that there's not enough time to really flesh out his characters. He puts so much thought and so much character into his characters that they can't really be properly expressed in a movie. You don't have the time, you don't have the insight into what they're thinking and why they're thinking it, that it kind of, it's a pale imitation of his story. And so really, if you like at all any of Stephen King's movies, you really got to read the book because they are so much better. And they usually are, but in Stephen King specific case, his books are so detailed and so engrossing that they don't translate to film very well. And I feel that Dark Tower was one of them. And what's really weird is that there were spoilers for book 7 in the movie.
At the beginning.
At the beginning of the movie. Like, it opens on something that you don't know until book 7.
So let me just tell you, if you're going to watch the movie, do not watch it with somebody who's read all 7 books.
Sorry.
Because throughout the entire thing, I knew exactly which point of the movie was being told from which book.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning, it was credits, first scene. That's from book 7. Okay.
I'm terrible. I'm sorry.
Honestly, from somebody who did not read the books, I can say that the movie was not that good.
It was not.
And not even for that reason, because I could tell that something was going on and all these characters seemed very important, mm-hmm. but there wasn't enough time devoted to any of them to get emotionally involved and want to care.
Yeah. You know, this happened with Jurassic Park. I saw Jurassic Park.
Not a Stephen King.
But Michael Crichton. But I watched Jurassic Park, the movie, when it came out, and I thought it was cool, and dinosaurs, and oh, yeah. And then I saw the book. I'm like, okay, I'm going to read the book. And the movie Jurassic Park is so insanely different from the book that I've said for years that the writers of the screenplay just read the back cover of the book and said, okay, let's write a movie. And it's because they get, like, the main ideas, but all the details are wrong. And that's what happened with the Dark Tower, is they got kind of the overall idea that the gunslinger pulled this boy from New York into his, well, that this boy ended up in Roland's world, and now Roland has to protect him. But everything else was wrong. And in the Dark Tower series, there are four main characters. Only two were in the movie.
Well, it's only an hour and a half long movie.
Yeah.
So Stephen King writes books that are very long.
Very long.
He then wrote 7 books in this world. Mm-hmm. So 7 very long books. And to get it all into an hour and a half, it was too much.
Yeah.
Do not try to cram 7 stories into a 90-minute movie.
Right. And to their credit, they didn't. They didn't really try to get everything because they just would have failed miserably unless they did try, and then I'm really sad for them.
Matthew McConaughey's performance in that was really good, like from somebody, again, who didn't read the book.
Right.
His performance was fantastic. However, for somebody who did read the book, this is what I heard.
He's not important. Like, Matthew McConaughey's Man in Black was so much more powerful than he is in the books. And in the book, he's not that important of a character. Like, granted, the very first line of the book is the man in black fled across the desert with the gunslinger following or chasing or something like that. It's both the very first line of the very first book and it's the very last line of the last book.
That's a spoiler alert.
Not really. And
if you haven't read it by... the last one came out in 2004, so 14 years, 14. You had the chance.
It came out in 2014, not 4.
Oh, really?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. 2004.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, 2004. So.
Whoa.
Sorry. Yeah, long enough. You know what? No, I'm going to go ahead and... No, I won't. I won't talk about the end. Because the end was really good. So I will say that the very end of the 7th book, at first made me very angry, and then made me feel bad for being angry, and then it was
Stephen King's version of "There's a monster at the end of the book."
It really is. Yeah, because what's great about the series? So he started the series back in the 70s, mm-hmm. is when honestly the first one was. The first one was published in 1982,
right.
But he had written it long before that.
Ah.
So it started, and he had written it long before he ever got it published. And so he kept building and building and building. And then on June 19th of 1999, he got in his accident. He was walking down a road in Maine near his home, and he was hit by a guy in a minivan. And he broke almost every bone in his body, and he was laid up.
How bad is it to be that driver? Like, not only are you so bad that you hit somebody, but how bad is it you hit somebody, you go out there, and you've turned over Stephen King. You're like, oh, man, I've done a bad thing.
Yeah, and so in 1999, he gets hit. And then so he had written book four in 1997 is when book four was published. And so when book five came out in 2003, it started getting meta because Stephen King became a character in his own book. And his accident was a big plot point of the Dark Tower series. Roland actually had to go in time and save Stephen King so that he wasn't more injured. One of the other main characters, actually Jake, the kid, he actually dies so that Stephen King doesn't. So
really?
That he's only injured. And so they have several conversations with Roland shows up at Stephen King's house, and Stephen King's like, you can't be here. I created you. You don't exist. And it gets really crazy.
It's super meta.
Super, super meta. And one of the main characters from Salem's Lot is also a character in The Dark Tower who gets a copy of Salem's Lot and starts reading about the fact that he's in this book. And they all freak out.
Now, I've been told that every Stephen King, or at least most Stephen King, a vast majority of Stephen King's works finds their way into the Dark Tower.
Yeah.
Like, they all tie into one another.
Yeah. I don't think all, because there's a lot. But the key ones are Salem's Lot is very much tied, and so is Insomnia. And actually, in the last of the Dark Tower series, in the seventh book, they talk about how Insomnia is the closest tied to Roland and his story.
Hmm.
So now I have to read that one, too. But
and let me know if it is. I was mm-hmm. asking if it was the Robin Williams one, so I don't know if it is or not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But when we were watching the video about the Thug Notes, which is the YouTube video of the guy reviewing
that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. You had asked me after we saw the movie It if I saw any ties with the Dark Tower, and there wasn't really a lot. But in his synopsis of the book, I saw a lot more.
Ah.
So it is kind of the guiding universe around all of his stories.
Interesting.
But it was an amazing, amazing book series. I'm so glad I read it. And I've actually talked to a lot of people who have read it, but then they got to like book three or four and then stopped.
You've read Misery, right?
Yes.
And that's really good.
Oh, yeah. Misery is a fun book. Okay. It's crazy.
That's actually been turned into stage plays. That's been
mm-hmm.
done here in our town.
It has.
And I'm pretty sure it was Russell Pyette and Susan Doherty who were those characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really wanted to see that.
Yeah, I'm really sad I missed out on that.
Yeah.
But there is hope on the horizon for The Dark Tower because the movie did not do very well
mm-hmm.
because it wasn't a good movie. I know Chelsea, who we've had on here a lot, has just absolutely loved the movie because she loved Matthew McConaughey.
And he was, like I said, his character was good, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
It's not the book.
And we kept telling her, okay, you need to watch it again. Don't be blinded by Matthew and see that the rest of the movie is not very good.
Yeah.
Because you don't have time to care about the characters, which is another problem that we'll talk about with the Dead Zone.
Okay, I know we're on the Stephen King thing, but I want to take a moment to address something from our last new episode, which was the movie reviews.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't seen a few of the movies that we mentioned.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I want to get out there right now. Downsizing was terrible.
It's terrible.
So bad. Jumanji was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Jumanji, absolutely go see that.
Mm.
We saw Pitch Perfect 3, and it's a solid sequel. The 3 is better than 2, but not as good as 1.
Right, exactly. Just like Hangover.
Just like the Hangover movies. Uh-huh. And The Greatest Showman, the music in it is fun, but it doesn't really fit the story.
It's very modern music, and the producers have said that they did that on purpose because P.T. Barnum was ahead of his time, and so they wanted the music to reflect that.
Yeah. So, it's fun to see once.
It's very good music.
Do not, under any circumstances, go see Downsizing.
Oh, it's terrible.
It was so bad. We were really excited for that. And the trailers are very, very misleading.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just don't.
Yeah, our friend Monica, who went and saw it with us, summed it up perfectly, that from the trailers, it looked like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids meets Stepford Wives.
Yeah.
And which is the movie I wanted to see.
And honestly, I wanted more sight gags. Like,
yeah.
They're small, so other things around them in their universe should, or their world should be big.
Mm-hmm.
And that was they did like one or two. It was just terrible. It became this weird socio-economical fable type. It was just, no.
Yeah.
And, yeah, skip it.
It was very disappointing.
I don't want people listening to our last episode saying, oh, they're really excited for Downsizing, and then we just didn't cover the fact that it was that bad.
Yeah.
So we took a moment during our Stephen King show to at least get that out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about The Dead Zone.
Yeah.
You're listening to We're a Little Behind on KCNR 1460 AM.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, April 20th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Speck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
This is Sheila from the Reading Safari Club. Our banquet is April the 28th at Wind River Casino at 5 o'clock. Come out and support your right to hunt. And our youth in hunting, our scholarships, and our veteran hunts. Call Scott at 221-4650, Larry at 474-5075. Get flyers at Old West or KCNR. Games, guns, and fun for everyone.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we've been talking, I wish to Stephen King, but we've been talking about Stephen King.
Yes.
How great would it be? It would be like, hey, Stephen, want to talk about some of your work? He'd be like, okay. We'd have enough material for like 3 months of show.
We really would.
We'll just talk. Maybe we could just do that. Hey, Stephen, if you're listening, we'll have a side project where we just talk about one piece of your work for an hour every week, mm-hmm. and then he'll just keep us going for like 10 years.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be cool. Because I'm looking at StephenKing.com, mm-hmm. and if you want to know everything that you need to know, like listed out, it's on there. So his movies. I'm gonna rapid fire down these. So these are the movies: A Good Marriage, Apt Pupil, Carrie, Cat's Eye, Cell, Children of the Corn, Christine, Creepshow and Creepshow 2, Cujo, The Dark Half, The Dark Tower, The Dead Zone, Dolores Claiborne, so I was right, Dreamcatcher, Firestarter, Gerald's Game, Graveyard Shift, The Green Mile, Hearts in Atlantis, It Part 1, The Losers Club, which is one that just came out recently, and they already have listed for September 6th of 2019, It Part 2. The Mangler, Maximum Overdrive, Mercy, Misery, The Mist, My Pretty Pony, not to be confused with My Little Pony, Needful Things, The Night Flyer, Pet Sematary, Riding the Bullet, The Running Man, Secret Window, The Shawshank Redemption, The Shining, Silver Bullet, Sleepwalkers, Stand By Me, Stuff for the Little Children, Tales from the Dark Side, The Movie, Thinner, 1408, and 1922. I don't know if both of those are years or either one of them is years, but that's interesting.
Right.
Now, I'm rapid-firing them off because I want people to hear those as I go and then just remember how many of these things or get surprised how many of those things are actually Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the movies from theater releases, theatrical releases. These are the miniseries and TV series that have been done. And on this list, they did not count The Dead Zone. And this is Stephen King's the official website. I'm wondering why they didn't include The Dead Zone TV series.
Yeah, that's kind of disappointing.
Because we'll get into why that's awesome. But so for TV series, they listed as 11-22-63, which is the James Franco Kennedy assassination time travel one.
That's awesome.
Salem's Lot Remake, Bag of Bones, Big Driver, Castle Rock, Desperation, The Diary of Ellen Rumbauer, Golden Years, It, Kingdom Hospital, The Langoliers, The Mist, Mr. Mercedes, Nightmares and Dreamscapes, Quicksilver Highway, Rose Red, The Shining, Sleeping Beauties, Sometimes They Come Back, The Stand, Storm of the Century, The Tommyknockers, Trucks, and Under the Dome. So now, to let you know, some of these are actually still in production, and they haven't even been released yet, but it's only like two of them on there, but still, which is Castle Rock and Sleeping Beauty, because the Sleeping Beauty was just his novel from last year.
That he wrote with his son, Owen.
See, so that's that's a good one. And then he's got the book, The Outsiders, coming out. But...
So, Stephen King's website is really cool. And
I don't know where my butt was going, but yes, continue.
But no, I need to break in here because there's a list of frequently asked questions, and they're very similar to your frequently asked questions that you put on our website. One of the questions is, are you dead? And his answer is, nope. But there's a link between Stephen King and one of your favorite books, and that the frequently asked question is, in The Princess Bride, it says you're going to write the abridgment for Buttercup's Baby. Is that true?
It is not.
It is not. Yeah, no.
To quote the Tommy Wiseau, it is not.
It says, that's a little joke from Bill Goldman, who is an old friend. He's done the screenplay adaptions for a number of my novels. He did Misery, Dreamcatcher, and he also did Hearts in Atlantis. And although he's not credited, he worked on Dolores Claiborne as well. So Bill and I go a long way back. So that was just kind of cool that it says, hey, you're in Princess Bride, which is one of your favorite books and movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, if side note, again, not necessarily Stephen King related, but if you love the Princess Bride movie, pick up the darn book, because everything, literally everything that is in the movie is in the book, and it just gives you more backstory to every character, including Fezzik's time in Iceland where he was a wrestler. You find out about how the Six-Fingered Man killed Inigo Montoya's father, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It gives everything of what happened to, like, Wesley during his time when he was in the Dread Pirate Roberts ship. I mean, so much. You find out about the zoo, the seven-layer zoo that Prince Humperdinck has, where he keeps all of his famed trophies, and like it's a living zoo where he actually hunts and everything, and that to get to every level you have to survive a deadly animal of some sort. It's really awesome.
Yeah.
Which is where the Pit of Despair is, at the very bottom level of the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up the book.
It's a great book.
Cannot stress that enough. Speaking of books, speaking of Stephen King, The Dead Zone.
Yes.
So that is what we did during Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
We listened to the audiobook. We spent time in Sacramento, Roseville, and we kind of drove around a lot just listening to the audiobook of The Dead Zone, as read by James Franco.
Oh, so good. And my favorite part is that this audiobook was just released this year in 2017. And so it's...
This past year, because we're now in 2018.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, this past year. And he, I don't know what the time frame was, but he recorded this audiobook around the time he was working on The Disaster Artist.
Right.
Which, of course, is his movie based on the making of The Room, where he played Tommy Wiseau. And there is a character in The Dead Zone who is a Polish doctor, and we swear he's doing a Tommy Wiseau voice.
Oh, absolutely.
Doctor, and it's amazing.
The book is great, but you know what? Pick up the audiobook. Like, if you're going to sit there and go, oh, I'm going to read The Dead Zone.
Which is a great book.
It is. That's what I'm saying. But if you have the opportunity, get the audiobook read by James Franco. Wonderful.
And outside of his Tommy Wiseau voice, he does a really good job. Like, at first, when we first started listening to it, I'm like, this is weird.
I get that way. I get that way with all audiobooks, though. Yeah. Like the Anna Kendrick book, mm-hmm. her book that she did. It's weird, I think, just to have people reading to you. Like, because when I get in the car, I turn on my radio, I turn on my CD player, whatever, and I listen to music. So to have people just reading to you feels weird. But once you get past that, I think that's where it becomes more natural.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, his was that way. But he creates, like, a different voice, a different subtlety for every character.
Yeah, he did a really good job.
Yeah. So James Franco's reading of The Dead Zone. Pick that up.
Mm-hmm. So it's a relatively short book for Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fascinating story. So this teacher who lives in Maine, big surprise, he gets in a car accident and he goes into a coma for 5 years?
5 years.
5 years. And then when he wakes up, he has the ability to see things. So if he touches you, he can see things that will happen in your future. And this causes him, you know, a bit of trouble because it's not always helpful to be able to see things like that. And his girlfriend who he had when he went into the coma is now married to someone else. And even though to him they were just kissing and, you know, wanting to be together forever the day before, and for her it's 5 years later. And it's a really interesting read, really good book.
And during the time that he's in his coma, there's a subplot of another guy called Greg Stilson,
who is mentioned in The Dark Tower.
Really? Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. So he is, the Greg Stilson is working his way up the political ladder.
Mm-hmm.
He starts off as like this Bible salesman who then becomes like a small town mayor, and he's working his way up. Well, Johnny comes out of his coma and goes to one of his rallies where he bumps into him and sees that this guy is going to bring on the end of the world.
Yeah. And so he has to take him out.
And decide what he's going to do. Got to decide what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
The movie that they made from that. So we're not going to give you too much more about the book. You should totally read it.
It's amazing.
It's a really good book, but listen to it.
Yes.
Because James Franco's amazing. The movie falls in the same pit kind of as the Dark Tower movie, to where there's so much in there that they cram it into a movie and they change things to a point that you don't care about the characters.
Yeah.
And it stars Christopher Walken, who is just too creepy for the character.
He is, and it's a young Christopher Walker, which is weird.
Walken,
sorry. Which is weird. It's odd to see him that young and play, and he's even at that point, he's still too old for the character, I think.
Uh-huh.
But you know, you can get by that.
Christopher Walken has always been old.
He has. But he's younger old. And then Martin Sheen, a relatively young Martin Sheen, plays Stilson. I mean, this movie came out in 1983.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, you know, we read the book.
Yeah, the book takes place in the late 60s to early 70s.
Yeah. So we read the book and then we watched the movie.
Because Johnny envisions Jimmy Carter being elected president.
Right. Yeah. And it's just, yeah, we're watching this movie. I'm like, I don't care about any of these people.
Yeah.
I don't care about
Johnny.
And that's
Johnny just after reading the book where you cared about everybody.
Yes, so much. Like, I felt so bad for the female lead in the book. Johnny's girlfriend, because they
Sarah.
So they had just, I mean, they had been dating a couple of times, but she wasn't really sure if he was the one yet or not. And then this night they decide that yes, that she wants to be with him. And they go to the fair and she eats a hot dog and she gets really sick. And so he takes her home and he really wants to stay with her, but she is feeling embarrassed and self-conscious because she's, you know, throwing up everywhere. And she's like, no, no, you should go. And that's when he gets in his accident. He gets a cab and he goes home. And so she's carrying the guilt of, you know, if I had just asked him to stay, if I had told him to stay, he would be fine. Then she gets married because 3 years later, he's still in this coma and there's no, it doesn't look like he's going to be coming out of it anytime soon. And so she kind of has to move on with her life. And so she gets married. And then when Johnny wakes up, now she really does have feelings for both of these men because she never stopped loving Johnny. She just thought he was gone.
Well, in the book, she feels more for Johnny than she does her husband after a while. Like,
but she stays with her husband.
Right. And but that plays more into the TV series. But before we get into that, in the book, there's a really great character that hires Johnny as a tutor for his son.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a rich guy, and he trusts Johnny, and he knows about Johnny's history of being a psychic, but he hires him anyway. And when his son graduates, they're supposed to have a big party. Johnny has a vision that the kids are all going to die, and the father believes him. Well, he doesn't believe him,
right.
but he's willing to give it. He wants to prove Johnny wrong.
Right, because the party was supposed to be at this restaurant.
Right.
And Johnny said, do not let him go. You cannot let him go. And the dad says, well, this is ridiculous. But
you've already paid for all this.
If it's going to make you... And then the boy found out, and he's like, well, I don't want to go if something bad's going to happen. And so the dad said, fine. You know what? We're going to have the party here at the house, and tomorrow morning I'm going to say I told you so.
Yep.
And then that didn't happen.
And so the dad let all the kids who didn't want to go party at their house.
Mm-hmm.
And then it founds out that, yeah, it actually happened.
It was struck by lightning.
And so that, and it's handled great in the book. Like the rich dad just really wants to, just is so pleased that his son is alive and whatever. In the movie, they handle it the complete opposite way and make the dad a complete jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Like he is just the worst.
It was really sad.
Yeah. But the TV series, which starred Anthony Michael Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And that came out in 2001, I believe. 2001, 2002.
Two.
That's right, because the second episode or something like that aired on my birthday when I turned 20. Hmm. It's fantastic. I've heard rumors that it's on Amazon Prime, so I have to look into that. But if you have the chance to watch it, it's great. And it handles the story of the Dead Zone really well. And the story of all the people from the book translates to TV really well because you can stretch the characters. And Sarah's husband in the book is...
he's a politician.
Yeah. And then there's Sheriff Bannerman.
Mm-hmm.
And so they merge the two to where she's now in the TV series married to Walt Bannerman, and he's the sheriff. And they play the love triangle off really well.
Well, because in the TV series, they actually get together the night that he goes into his coma, mm-hmm. and it produces a child.
Mm-hmm. So while he's in the coma, this kid is born and raised by the sheriff.
Right. And in the book, she does have a son, but it's not Johnny's.
Right.
Because she didn't get married until 3 years after his coma.
So this is it's a lot more dramatic love triangle stuff.
Yeah. So I feel that the TV series kind of has the opposite problem of the movie, but they handle it okay in that there is not enough movie to cover the book. But in the TV series, there's not enough book to cover the TV series because it's like I said earlier, it is a relatively short Stephen King book. Still not an hour and a half movie.
But I've done all three. I've done movie, I've done TV show, and I've done book. And
the TV show is good because even though they do change a few of the details, it's okay. But the things that they add, they almost make it like a cop drama type thing where he's dealing with a different psychic thing every episode.
And he can see things from the past. He can see things from the future. Yeah. It plays really well. Stilson is still there. And it's all handled really well.
Yeah.
So if you get a chance, watch the TV series. But see, this is what I knew was going to happen. We've run out of time.
Ah.
Stephen King has utilized our entire hour, and we haven't even scratched the surface.
He has written a lot.
Maybe we'll do this every so often. We'll just do another Stephen King thing that we've caught up on.
Done. I love it.
What do you guys think? Like that? Everyone who's listening to this now just said yes. Yay! All right. So catch us next week. We'll have something fun again for you.
Yeah, and be sure to visit our website at www.gomezcast.com. We're going to have links to all kinds of fun stuff and... you know, drop us a line.
You're listening to We're a Little Behind.
Good night.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.